This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. This noontime concert is part of WWFM's Celebrating Our Musical Community series and is made possible in part by underwriting from Bay Area Friends of WWFM and a grant from the Edward T. Cohn Foundation. Good afternoon, I'm David Ozenberg. And we once again on this noontime concert are very happy to welcome the Philadelphia-based Dolce Suono Ensemble. With me as co-host, as she is for all these broadcasts of Dolce Suono, is the founder, artistic director, and flutist, Mimi Stillman. It's good to see you again. We were just here on Tuesday because we have put the two concerts that you called Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music here in this week, where we celebrate the birthday of our country, which we just did yesterday.
Yes.
I hope you had a good 4th.
Thank you. It was great. I hope you did too.
Yeah, it was very relaxing.
Well, thanks for having me back on air, David. It's always such a pleasure to talk about music with you and share our Dolce Suono Ensemble performances with your listeners. And extra special to be celebrating our nation with American music this week.
And this is a very laudable series, which I know you put a lot of sweat into, a lot of hard work went into, a lot of help and funding came from people who wanted to make it happen. And I want you to talk about that, but just the whole focus of these concerts was to shine a spotlight on chamber music of American composers and composers who basically we would call 20th century composers, many of them working and composing in the middle years of the 20th century, let's say 30s through the 60s, if we can call that middle, for the most part. Composers, their whole output, maybe even their name is not as well known as it should be, and certainly their chamber music doesn't get played maybe as often as some of their orchestral works. So it was a yeoman work on your end to just shine a spotlight and perform these works by these composers, but you might want to give us a little backlog on how this all came about.
Yes, well, thank you very much. It was 7 or 8 years ago that I started wondering why some of these composers who in their time were recipients of sometimes more than one Pulitzer Prize, like William Schumann or celebrities. He was also on What's My Line on television. Many of these composers were such prestigious ambassadors of American culture in their time and very well known by the public at large, but their music, especially their chamber music, has really fallen into neglect on the concert stage today, but it's really excellent. And it's also very interesting because of the diversity of styles, because of the way in which there are layers of connections between and among these composers with lineages of their teachers and the way in which, say, European influence after World War II was felt in their music. And all these different factors come into play. And I thought, we really want to go into this. And so we put together this project, Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music. Our ensemble was very honored to receive grants for it from the National Endowment for the Arts, from the Aaron Copland Fund for Music, and from the Musical Fund Society of Philadelphia to do this, because we did a kind of expanded format. We ended up having 5 concerts, not 4, on our regular DSC Presents series in Philadelphia this past season, and we did one of the Rediscoveries concerts as a double concert with a panel discussion with experts, because it was a really major learning experience and research experience for me and for our group to do this project. We were looking at several generations of composers, starting with a sort of 1890s generation, Walter Piston and Roger Sessions and students of theirs through around composers born in the 1920s, and then some later, because we did some composers living today that we know who studied with some of these older composers. A major figure, as I mentioned, Walter Piston, as composer and as pedagogue, taught generations of composers at Harvard, including Irving Fine, Leonard Bernstein, Elliot Carter, Leroy Anderson, very diverse, stylistically very influential group. And we also feature Ralph Shapey, Leon Kirshner. We're Philadelphia-based. We had some composers with Philadelphia ties, such as George Rockberg and Richard Wernick, professors from the University of Pennsylvania, because that was an important thing to do for us. Or Ralph Shapey was born in Philadelphia. Leonard Bernstein studied at Curtis. So that was kind of an element, too. But one question, in addition to just saying, yeah, they're not really played that much, is we wanted to figure out why. And there are many reasons for that. And you might have some ideas too as a trained composer growing up in composition departments and fields. But one thing that's quite interesting is that some of the composers were very well known at the time for their symphonic works. And this kind of shows how different the American music scene was in the pre- and post-war years, in the sense that, for example, Sergei Kuzovitsky, as conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, did so much premiering of new works, including by many of the composers in our project. And actually, chamber music was a smaller part of their repertoire and their output than orchestral for most of them.
Yeah.
That's completely switched now. So many composers today will write a lot more chamber music and get it played than orchestral music. And part of it is because of budgeting and how that works with rehearsal time in orchestras versus chamber ensembles, and just maybe the hunger by chamber musicians for new music in a different way from orchestras. The orchestras are doing a lot of it. However, another thing is just that today a lot of this music might sound more dissonant and thorny. Some of it's also neoclassical, shall we say, tonal, and maybe more stereotypically accessible than some of it. Some of it really takes a lot of rigor to perform and to listen to, and perhaps experience even, to just kind of get into that zone. And then another factor too, I think, with new music, perhaps at any time, is that new music is what's being done, so a premiere. But even composers today have difficulty getting sometimes second or third or fourth performances. And so if there is always an interest in what's the newest, it's a little harder to bring back things from, say, 50 years ago, or the heart of this music that we play in this project is mostly 20th century.
All that well said, and so many factors of why American chamber music, especially the 20th century of these composers you're presenting, kind of is not seen or heard as much. Again, they're up against, chamber music can be different forces, unless you're writing for absolute tried and true string quartet, piano, trio, that might not fit the forces of playing. And then they're up against the whole body of great chamber music from the European composers, from Brahms and Beethoven and Mozart on back. So this concert, as with all of Dolce Suono's concerts, they have some special guest artists they've invited. So in addition to the Dolce Suono Trio, which is Mimi on, well, here on this program, on flute, piccolo, and alto flute, Gabriel Cabezas on cello, and Charles Abramovic on piano, they have invited past Cadenza guest, violin and violist Miranda Cuxon, and clarinetist Yao Guang Jai. And the big concert Mimi talked about was actually last March. That's the one we're going to hear, presented at the Trinity Center for Urban Life at 22nd Spruce Streets in Center City, Philadelphia, which was two concerts with a big panel discussion in the middle. That panel discussion aired last night on the Classical Network as part of my Cadenza program. It is up as a webcast right now, which you can go to the website and go to our programs, A to Z, go to Cadenza, and you'll find it there. That discussion was with composer, and we'll hear his music on this, Richard Wernick, noted conductor and champion of new music, James Freeman, who for so many years led Orchestra 2001, and then some of the artists on the program, specifically Miranda Cuxon. So you can go listen to that. It's a fascinating discussion about everything we've just been talking about here, but let's kick off this concert with music of the only woman composer in this concert. The concert we aired on Tuesday had two women composers, Catherine Hoover and Shulamit Ran, who is still active in composing. This is Luis Talma, who was in this whole group circling with teachers and schools all in mid-20th century, but her work really, you don't hear many pieces, but we're going to hear this 7 episodes for flute, viola, and piano.
Yeah, Luis Talma is a very interesting figure in our project. She's known as part of the, quote, Boston School of mostly neoclassicist composers in the circle of Copland and Irving Fine, Harold Shapiro, Arthur Berger, who we mentioned in the other broadcast. She also studied in France with Nadia Boulanger. I have to say, probably the most important composition teacher specifically of all time, not just of the 20th century, as someone who's a designated pedagogue of music, right? And influenced so many composers, including many of the American ones in this project. Luis Talma studied at Columbia and then was an important teacher of composition as well. She wrote this piece in 1987, so it's actually one of the later or more modern, let's say, pieces on the program. For this, Miranda Cuxon switches to viola. Some of us were doing multiple instruments as part of this double concert. We were so busy and having a lot of fun very intensely in this program. But just a note about Miranda Cuxon. She is highly respected for her work with specifically 20th and 21st century music. She's really a major expert in this field, as well as just a great colleague to work with. We had so much fun having her join our ensemble for the first time. And she also was great as an advisor early on when I was planning some of the programs and inviting her to perform and helping choose some of the repertoire that would engage all of our instrumentation.
A composer she has championed, we'll hear her perform that composer's music later in this program. But here she is on viola with Mimi on flute, Charles Abramovic on piano. 7 episodes for those instruments from 1987 by Luis Talma. To kick off this concert given last March by Dolce Suono Ensemble, the second of their Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music, we have heard Mimi Stoman on flute, Charles Abramovic on piano, and special guest Miranda Cookson on viola in Luis Talma's seven episodes for flute, viola, and piano from 1987. The next work, we talked on Tuesday when we broadcast your first concert, Mimi, about how so many of these composers had to face the almost inner turmoil of how they were going to write music in the 20th century. There are so many different styles and dogmas and processes. Should they be a disciple of Schoenberg and that school? Should they be a neoclassic, a disciple of Stravinsky? The next composer, again, has faced that dilemma, George Rochberg, so long associated with the University of Pennsylvania, where he started out writing very dissonant, atonal music. And then in the mid-60s, I believe it was in the 60s, his son died. And he realized he couldn't express what he wanted to in music in the way he was writing music. So he switched to what was basically a neoconservative, neoclassic style.
Yes, and after that tragic event, Rochberg discussed how he could not express the grief or the rage right. in his musical language. And we decided to perform Contra Mortem et Tempus. The Latin title means Against Death and Time. And this this was a response to the death of his son and also a turning point in Rockberg's oeuvre in terms of his return to tonality. What you hear in this piece is kind of shining through a very thick cloud of atonality for most of it. The piece is for flute, clarinet, violin, and piano, and a lot of it's very sparse and aleatoric, which in music means music that involves chants. So the way it's written on the page, we all play from a score, and various notes are indicated by the composer to line up with a line, and others happen at different times, and so every performance is actually literally different of this work, which is very interesting. And he also quotes from other composers like Ives, right, and Varese in the work in a very sort of deep way. It's hard to say, oh, that's what that is, but it's embedded in there. And it's in a very, very interesting, very moving piece, very theatrical work in a way because of the sparse textures and silences.
Thank you. Thank you. beds. Tent.
We've heard Mimi Stillman on flute, Yao Guang Jai on clarinet, Ryder Cuxon on violin, and Charles Abramovic on piano performed George Rochberg's Contra Mortem et Tempus for flute, clarinet, violin, and piano from 1965, a very pivotal time in Rochberg's career when he was switching from very kind of severe atonal processes of composing music to embracing a new tonality and a neoclassic type of approach to his music. George Rochberg, of course, many years connected with the University of Pennsylvania, and the next work on this program from the Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music, the second concert in the series presented by Dolce Suono Ensemble in Philadelphia. This concert given last March is by a composer who, again, connected with that same institution, but so much a part of Philadelphia classical music, new classical music making over the last decades. He was advisor on contemporary music to Riccardo Muti and the Philadelphia Orchestra when Maestro Muti was here. And this is Richard Wernick.
Yeah, Richard Wernick is such a distinguished composer. We were delighted to have him participate as an artistic advisor, as well as guest composer and speaker on our panel discussion as part of Rediscoveries Project. He's become a really good friend of mine. He's a really close friend of Charlie Abramovic. And in fact, Charlie will perform the piano pieces, including one that was dedicated to Charlie by Dick Wernick. But it's really great how Wernick's life connects so deeply with the other composers on this project, in that he studied at Brandeis with Irving Fine and Harold Shapiro and Arthur Berger, and then at Mills College in California with Leon Kirshner, who we also perform. He always, as he told me, felt his music was more chromatic than the neoclassical school, and thus also more dissonant in many ways. And so he just has a fascinating lifetime of experiences that he shared with me in planning the program, and also in suggesting bibliography for me as I did the research. But then also he shared with our audiences on our panel. So we're delighted to present Charlie Abramovic in his Pieces of Eight for piano.
And this piece is kind of analogous to Sir Edward Elgar's Enigma Variations, in that each piece is sort of a musical portrait or dedicated to someone that was close or that Richard Wernick knew. The first one is dedicated and celebrates the 75th birthday of pianist Gilbert Kalisch. So you get a kind of a 7 and 5 meter going on. The second movement dedicated to Gene and Harriet Abrams, who were good friends. The third is a lament for a loss of a friend. The fourth one dedicated to Network for New Music, who we also broadcast their concerts here on the Classical Network, and actually is based on the waltz theme that Beethoven had for his Diabelli variations. The next dedicated to the pianist Lambert Orcus, and number six dedicated to a friend that the composer plays squash with. And then the seventh, inspiration from part of a Dylan Thomas poem, again to a friend who was assistant principal cellist in the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. And the final one, the one you mentioned, Mimi, dedicated to Charles Abramovic, and sort of the fact that Charles' fingers can really fly on the keyboard.
It's a beautiful tribute to Charlie's virtuosity and marvelous playing. From Dick Wernick's program notes, he writes, "The piece is descriptive of Charlie Abramovic's fingers and the effulgent manner in which he plays." That is so true. And you'll hear in these pieces just such great characterizations. They're all so different. Some very playful, takes you through a lot of different moods.
Pieces of Eight for piano from 2013 by Richard Wernick, performed by Charles Abramovic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Music of Richard Wernick there, the Philadelphia-based composer who's been so active and so important in the classical music, especially new classical music life of Philadelphia over the past decades. His Pieces of Eight for piano from 2013, each of the eight pieces sort of a caricature or inspired by someone the composer knew, the last one there, by the performer who performed it, and that's Charles Abramovich. The next work on this Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music program, the second of these concerts as presented by the Philadelphia-based Dolce Suono Ensemble, is a work by a major American composer, but also a pedagogue. So many of the composers, as you've heard Mimi say today and on Tuesday's Noontime Concert, were his students or moved in the orbit, which is 1 degree removed from him, and that's Walter Piston. And here again, Walter Piston, probably best known for his orchestral works, The Incredible Flutist, yes, and maybe some of his symphonies. But here he wrote one of the really shining examples of a flute sonata, a 20th century flute sonata, which I probably every serious flutist knows this piece.
Yes, I think in my view of the universe, which is conditioned by being a flutist, Walter Piston is kind of known for the sonata, but the work is great, but not as widely played as so many other sonatas. But my teacher, Julius Baker, was a champion of the piece, so it's very close to my heart. And actually, Charlie Abramovich and I recorded it last week as part of an album of four 20th century flute sonatas that's going to be coming out in the coming season. And we were really happy to include it as part of this program, both as a great fit for the issues in our Festival of American Chamber Music and also just for highlighting our ensemble and our duo of flute and piano. Yeah, this piece is one of the earliest ones in the project, written in 1930, and was relatively an early hit for the composer as mm-hmm. well. And its style has been described not only as neoclassical, but even as neo-baroque in the sense of its clarity of line and perhaps subtle references to flute repertoire. A lot of our great works are Baroque, you know, Bach, Handel, Vivaldi, Telemann, and that could be in there a little bit, but very much within Piston's own language. And the first and third movements are fast, and especially the third one, very virtuosic and quick, straight shot there. A lot of double tonguing is one of the techniques that I use. And the second movement is extremely poignant, slow, and introspective, very special movement.
The 1930 Flute Sonata by Walter Piston, Mimi Stillman on flute, Charles Abramovich on the piano. Thank you.
Thank you.
just heard the Flute Sonata from 1930 by Walter Piston on this concert called Rediscoveries Festival of American Chamber Music, the second concert given by the Philadelphia-based Dolce Suono Ensemble. On flute, my co-host, artistic director and founder of Dolce Suono Ensemble, Mimi Stillman. On piano, Charles Abramovic. This concert was given last March at the Center for Urban Life, 22nd and Spruce Streets in Philadelphia, and it was structured as two concerts with a panel discussion in between, featuring one of the composers we just heard, Richard Wernick, and the conductor, James Freeman, longtime director of Orchestra 2001, and some of the guest artists on this program. That panel discussion was my Cadenza program last night at 10. You can now hear it as a webcast on our website, wwfm.org. And since this is Structure's two concerts, we're going to have it as two concerts. We're going to take a break right now and be back with concert two of this very long concert given in this very noble cause of presenting American chamber music from composers basically from the 20th century. We'll be back with music by Kirshner, Shapey, and Pearl in a moment as presented by Dolce Suono Ensemble. This is Celebrating Our Musical Community. These are exclusive broadcasts of the award-winning Classical Network and at wwfm.org.